Numbers chapter 26. Now here you've got the census that was taken at the end of the 38 years wandering in the wilderness. Now you can compare this with the census that was taken at the beginning, and you can see that some of the tribes went up in number and some of them went down in number. Let's just take one example, verse 14. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. Well, in Numbers chapter 1, you see that there were far more of them. In fact, they have decreased, Simeon decreased, by something like 37,000 people. I wonder why that was. Well, there was a plague in Numbers chapter 25 that killed 24,000 people because they committed fornication with the people of Moab. And who led that? It was Zimri, who was from the tribe of Simeon, we just read in Numbers 25. So probably he encouraged the tribe of Simeon to get involved with that. And so therefore, probably a lot of the people who were killed were people from the tribe of Simeon. And that would explain this big decrease in number. And it's that sort of internal corroboration within the Bible text which continually persuades me that this is indeed the Word of God. Because the way that it all hangs together, the way that it all sort of backs itself up in those kind of small ways, to me indicates that this is indeed truth, that these things really happened. You might also ask, well, why take a census at the end as they're about to enter into the land? Why sort out which family it has what people in and how many, etc.? Well, I think it was because the idea was that they were to each be given a specific inheritance in the land of Canaan. See verse 53, to these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To the more you shall give more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give less. To each one, according to those who are numbered of his family, shall his inheritance be given. And the land shall be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit it. So it seems to me that each family was given a specific inheritance. And that is why the law of Moses says that, for example, you cannot ever sell your inheritance. At the most, you can, well, quote, sell it to somebody who can live in it and use your land until the Jubilee year, every 49th year, and then the land goes back to you. That's why Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard to King Ahab. He said, I can't sell it. This is my family's inheritance. So the idea was that each family had a specific inheritance. And this, I think, looks to how each of us will have a specific inheritance in God's kingdom. And there's going to be something very personal about how we're going to be forever and ever. We won't just be a load of robots who all look the same. We're each going to be given different cities to rule over in accordance with how we traded the talents that we've been given, according to the parable of the Lord Jesus. And so we're each unique, aren't we? We each have a unique fingerprint, a unique iris in our eye. We all go through specific and unique life experiences. And I think that's because God has got such an interest in little me that he's preparing for me and for you a absolutely personal inheritance in his kingdom. We will all serve God in a slightly different way. We will not be sitting around doing nothing. Well, we're then told, as it goes on here in the record, that all Israel were numbered, but among those there was not a man of them who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. That's 38 years before. For Yahweh had said of them, they will surely die in the wilderness. There was not left a man of them apart from Caleb and Joshua, who were the two spies who returned and were faithful and said, yes, we can inherit the land. Those who wanted to believe the others that no, we can't enter into the land. Well, they all died, all of them over the age of 20, all died one by one in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb survived. So you see there how, although Israel were a small nation, yet even out of them, only a minority were faithful. This is quite a theme of the Bible, that it is a remnant of a remnant, a minority of a minority. In one sense, the seed of Abraham will be as many as the stars in the sky. But in another sense, relative, I think, to world population, the faithful who will be in God's kingdom are a very small number. And yet salvation is so easy, that so many fall away. And so you see from that that God is the God of small things and small numbers. And you shouldn't be discouraged if your church is very small or you feel sometimes that there are very few true Christians on this earth. There's plenty who will say they are, but I think there's very few that are really serious. That is how it is. And yet there's no reason why we should not be amongst that small number, that small flock. Because, as I say, salvation is not difficult. God wants to save us.